Welcome to episode 36. I'm Stuart McCullough, I'm the CEO of VHAA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, which continues to work its way through a range of enterprise agreements that require replacing, in particular with the social and community services agreement, which has perhaps been one of the most complex negotiations, made more difficult by the fact it has an unusual set of circumstances in which the wages have continued to increase as a result of the ERO. I'm happy to say that more community health members have since signed on to the VHAA proposed settlement and that in effect it is now an industry outcome as opposed to just a partial industry outcome. Thank you to all those community health members for their patience and support during that process. With respect to the health services, we continue to bargain with the AMA with respect to doctors in training and medical specialists meeting twice weekly. The reference group is currently meeting on a fortnightly basis, and we're pleased to say that there is good rural and regional representation with regards to that group. As previously advised, each of the bargaining meetings is being summarised, and those summaries are being posted on the VHA community app. If it is that any item in that summary catches your attention and you want to participate, please post your comments on the app. That will be of enormous assistance to us. Also bargaining at the moment are dental therapists, hygienists and oral health therapists. There is a meeting with the CPSU on the 18th of September. Similarly, with respect to general dentists and the dental specialist bargaining, there is a meeting also on the 18th of September. The Allied Health Professionals Reference Group meets on the 19th of September. And with respect to the HWU SDPPWG, that's next scheduled to meet on the 20th of September. And for the ANMF, the Service Delivery Partnership Plan Working Group is scheduled to meet on the 21st of September. All those meetings will be the subject of summaries on the VHA community app if you have signed up to the relevant groups. And lastly, we have the fifth and final regional forum for 2017 being conducted in Swan Hill on the 26th of September. We very much look forward to seeing our members in Swan Hill. Just a reminder that we will be conducting regional forums twice per year, every year in March and September, and we thank those members who've already volunteered to host a regional forum in 2018. And that's it for this week's Industrial Roundup. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. And joining me for this week's discussion is Senior Workplace Relations Consultant Daniel Pullen. Welcome, Daniel.
Welcome, Stuart.
Daniel, would you be kind enough to reveal the clue for this week's discussion subject?
Pleasure.
So for the benefit of those who are listening to this podcast rather than watching, would you be good enough to describe the object that you see?
It's a miniature stormtrooper.
And based on that particular object, what would you say that the subject for this week's discussion is?
Star Wars?
That's so close and yet so wrong. I don't think there's any more difficult workplace to imagine than a Death Star, and a more difficult employer perhaps than Darth Vader. So that brings us to today's discussion, workplace bullying.
Uh-huh, and I guess that's why my seat is so low.
That's just one of the reasons your seat is so low, Daniel. The issue of workplace bullying has been an area of high activity for the past couple of years, and one of the reasons that we're doing the podcast on this subject now is that a final report has been provided to the Minister from a healthcare advisory group on the subject of workplace bullying.
And is that report publicly available?
It is. So members can find that at the health.vic website, but they can also access it through the VHAA community app.
And what's the significance of the report?
So there's some history here. Members might recall that in March 2016, that VAGO issued a report with regards to workplace bullying. And I think it's essential just to bear in mind the significance of that particular report.
And what's the history here?
So that VAGO report, it was actually the third of three reports about occupational health and safety. But the report was specific to the issue of bullying within the health sector. it very much sets the agenda for all that's happened since, including this most recent report from the Healthcare Advisory Group. And what that did is that the Vargo report broke things into three categories. In particular, it talked about culture, prevention, and response. And in terms of culture, it talked about issues around inadequate leadership, insufficient priority, and the failure to identify workplace bullying as an appropriate hazard. Under prevention, it focused in particular on policies and procedures and training. And with respect to response, Vargo highlighted ineffective early prevention as an issue, along with inadequate mechanisms for responding to complaints of workplace bullying.
And where can people find this Vargo report?
The Vargo report is available at audit.vic.gov.au. Again, we've also posted a copy of the Vargo report on the VHA community app. I must say that the Vargo report on workplace bullying is highly recommended reading. A copy of that report should be available in every People and Culture department within the health sector. Its content should be something that is studied, and the organisation should really consider a response that takes into account that report. It's a very important document.
I think that's a great suggestion, Stuart. So what role does the Healthcare Advisory Group play?
So following the issue of the Vargo report, DHHS issued a strategy paper, and that strategy paper was entitled Our Pathway to Change, Eliminating Bullying and Harassment in Healthcare. That's also available on that health.vic website. And the Healthcare Advisory Group was established then in June 2016, really as part of a means to implement that strategy.
And that's taken 12 months for this final report?
It's taken 12 months.
Okay. And was VHA part of the advisory group?
Well, as an industrial representative that represents all 85 health services within Victoria and represents all those health services and enterprise bargaining, including with regards to occupational health and safety issues, that meets regularly with People and Culture and discusses these issues, obviously not. VHA was not part of the advisory group.
And there were 16 members of the committee?
There were 16, that's correct.
And was there any rural and regional health services represented?
So of those 16 members, there were two representatives from health services. That is one CEO from a metropolitan health service and one executive director of People and Culture from a metropolitan health service. There was no rural and regional representation at all.
That really is a shame. So who was on the committee?
So it comprised of 16 members, as I said, three of which were representatives from various colleges for medical practitioners. There were five union representatives, VMIA is the insurer, WorkSafe, an independent chair, and representatives of various parts of the public service.
Right. And what was the responsibility of the committee?
So the responsibility of the committee, there were effectively three responsibilities. Those were to provide options to address key issues related to bullying and harassment, taking a system-wide approach and advising on strategies to address bullying and harassment, and developing advice that acknowledges the responsibility of health services to maintain and provide a safe work environment.
So on that basis, what does the report deliver?
The report describes itself as delivering a suite of initiatives. Effectively, there are six initiatives with associated action points connected to each of those initiatives.
And broadly, what are those six initiatives?
So the six initiatives are, firstly, an awareness campaign, a pledge and organisational framework, learning and development, lead and lag indicators, strengthening grievances, grievance processes and support, and expert review appointment.
That sounds relatively broad. For the benefit of our members, could we go through each of those initiatives?
We can. So starting with the first of those initiatives, and that is the awareness campaign. So the committee formed a view that there was an absence of material that's specific to the health sector with regards to awareness about what constitutes acceptable workplace behaviours and supports for addressing inappropriate workplace behaviours. There are two actions associated with that first initiative. The first action is research by the department and organisations such as WorkSafe to inform the development and implementation of a targeted awareness campaign. The second action concerns exploring opportunities to partner with existing campaigns that focus on acceptable workplace behaviours and the prevention, early intervention and management of bullying, harassment and discrimination.
So those actions are really in terms of work that is yet to be done?
They are, and that seems to be a feature of the advisory group's report more generally. It doesn't seem so much to be an answer to the things arising from the Vargo report as it is an indicator of further work to be done.
Okay, and what about the second initiative?
So the second initiative describes itself as a pledge and organisational framework.
Okay, and what does that actually mean?
At its heart, it's about leadership and responsibility. They've proposed two actions in respect to that particular initiative, the first of which is to establish a template that health services can use to develop a local pledge at different levels of the organisation to promote a commitment to prevent and respond to inappropriate behaviour and focus on providing a positive workplace culture.
And that template pledge is provided within the report?
No, it isn't. I understand what it is that they're trying to do. I'm not sure that a pledge is necessarily the best way to achieve that outcome. Referring to it as a pledge makes it sound like some kind of declaration of allegiance. Mm. And the difficulty with that approach is that it sometimes disconnects the ownership of the person making the commitment. That is, they're signing up to a pledge and it becomes potentially more academic as opposed to something that is understood and accepted and then actioned.
Right. But establishing an organisational framework would be the statement of the obvious, wouldn't it?
So an organisational framework is important, and that goes to the second recommendation, the second action point arising from the second initiative. An organisational framework which is intended to support early identification of risks of inappropriate behaviour, including bullying and harassment and discrimination, and identifying control measures. I think a framework is necessary, and I think that that is the case for a lot of health services, that they do have those kind of frameworks or are developing those frameworks. But for me, it's got to come from within the sector itself. Mm. A lot of expertise has been developed within the health sector. I think that a lot of good work since the Vargo report in particular has been done within the health sector. And I think in terms of establishing a framework, the guide for that should actually come from health services rather than being introduced to health services externally.
And I would agree on that point. Could you tell us about the third initiative?
So that's described as learning and development. The advisory group made an interesting statement. It stated that current training to help prevent bullying and harassment and discrimination in health services is ineffective because it is superficial, ad hoc, largely not mandatory, variable across the sector and not evaluated for effectiveness. It also doesn't focus on building important skills that contribute to a positive organisational culture, such as leadership and communication skills and understanding of acceptable and unacceptable workplace behaviours. For me, that statement is contradictory and inaccurate. I do agree and accept that there is unevenness with regards to the standards of learning and the framework for that, and we do need to establish a consistent standard. The difficulty with making a statement that lumps everyone together in that sense is that it downplays the good work that is being done within the sector. So there are a number of actions that are associated with that particular initiative also.
Okay. And what are the actions for the third initiative?
So there are three. The first of which is to develop a best practice guide principles, including specific requirements to be covered under each principle, review a number of the existing training programs against those principles to make the results available to health services. And I do think that's a key point coming back to Vargo, which talked about the need to share across the sector, and developing tools and links to useful resources to help health services enhance the local training programs. The tools should include scenarios that provide practical demonstrations.
I think that sounds reasonable.
It does sound reasonable, but I just think the input from the health services into developing those will be absolutely instrumental.
Agreed. And initiative four?
So initiative four concerns the lead and lag indicators. This is really about how do you get eyes on issues around workplace bullying as they develop and emerge. Okay. And so there are two actions that are proposed there. Firstly, to develop a set of indicators that are collectively used by health services, by their boards, and by the department to benchmark. And also the second action item was that the department continue to work collaboratively with relevant agencies to seek agreement on the use of a consistent definition of bullying, harassment and discrimination.
So the report and the committee weren't able to land on a definition, an agreed definition of bullying, harassment and discrimination?
So I have to say that this is one of the puzzling elements with regards to this report. We shouldn't be at the point of arguing over definitions. If there's no agreement as to key terms, then it's hard to imagine how we can give effect to a report at all. Mm. Certainly how we can deliver on the strategy that DHHS has so carefully prepared. One of the things about the VARGO report is that it identified in very clear terms the relevant definitions both for workplace bullying and for harassment. Mm. The definition that you find in the VARGO report about workplace bullying is under the heading of audit summary, and it simply says that workplace bullying is repeated and unreasonable behaviour directed towards a worker or a group of workers that creates a risk to health and safety. And whilst there are various iterations of that kind of definition contained either under the Fair Work Act or under WorkSafe materials, I would regard what VARGO have put in their report as the classic definition of what workplace bullying is. Similarly, with respect to harassment, it states that harassment is treating someone less favourably than another person or group because of a particular characteristic, such as ethnic origin, gender, age, disability or religion. Again, I would describe that as a definition completely consistent with the Fair Work Act, completely consistent with the Equal Opportunity Act. It is a source of some considerable befuddlement to me that the report from the Healthcare Advisory Group should be uncertain on such fundamental issues.
I would agree. And initiative five, strengthening grievance processes and support.
So this is an interesting one. So the advisory group has recommended that the department develop best practice guidance to help standardise the way in which health services manage staff concerns and complaints.
Okay. And I guess that sounds like a good idea.
Broadly, yes. But what it doesn't necessarily do is consider that health services come in all shapes and sizes. And so the note of caution is that in terms of developing guidance and to take into account the fact of those different sizes. We've discussed this before in different contexts, that we have 40 health services that don't have dedicated HR, for example. So the solutions may not necessarily be identical, even if the underpinning principles are. I think that's where the absence of a representative from rural and regional health services is quite telling.
And I would agree on that point. What would a facilitator do? I understand facilitators are referred to within Initiative 5.
Yeah, look, a facilitator is referred to, and the point of the facilitator is that it would offer staff a confidential service that helps to clarify issues and prioritise concerns, access information, resources, and roles and advice about the options available to best meet an individual's needs, and preference in managing their complaint and facilitate improved access to independent complaints process.
Mm. And I guess we would agree that it is a quite significant failure of the committee to fail to reach a consensus on those definitions.
So the issue of failing to reach a consensus goes to the issue of the role of the facilitator. And for me, it's quite disappointing that a consensus after 12 months couldn't be reached. As I understand it, it seems to be that the difficulties arose with regards to the scope of that role and whether it had an independent investigative function. For me, having regard to the way in which that facilitator role is described within the report, it would be difficult to see how those functions could be satisfactorily discharged as well as an investigative function. So it's a mystery as to why that should be a block to a consensus.
So what were the recommendations that were provided for Initiative 5?
So one of which is to develop the standardised guidance, establish an independent facilitator role as a 2-year pilot with full evaluation to be undertaken. I assume that refers to someone who is external. but that's not explicitly clear or not perhaps clear enough under the report. Also to strengthen existing independent mechanisms for complaint lodgement, investigation and resolution. Exploring the need and feasibility of an independent role with authority to investigate and resolve individual complaints. It's here that the work of the Fair Work Commission springs to mind. The Fair Work Commission having a jurisdiction with regards to workplace bullying complaints. And it was interesting to see the way in which the Fair Work Commission developed its framework for handling those complaints and a requirement or an expectation that people would seek to resolve things internally before escalating. I don't see that kind of consideration being featured in this particular report.
And the sixth and final initiative?
So that's entitled Expert Review Appointment. In effect, it's referring to intervention. It's described as an independent expert who's being appointed to assist health services requiring a greater need for support in improving their workplace culture.
And the recommended actions?
So there was one recommended action, and that was that the department clearly articulates to the health sector the process for engagement of an expert from the panel of independent experts to review health services workplace culture and management of inappropriate behaviour and provide support to make improvements where issues remain unresolved.
Okay, and those are the six initiatives?
That's the suite as such. And for me, I'm not sure that the report necessarily delivers on everything that the VARGO report provided to us a year ago. There are some positive suggestions, and they include the fact that there is a recognition of the need for resources, and I think resources would be a key to making improvements in this particular area. But for me, there are some gaps. And I think some of those gaps are associated with the role in which early intervention plays. It was one of the focuses of that VARGO report. It's referred to more in passing in this particular report. And when it's referring to facilitators and investigations and the like, particularly investigations, my own experience is that where workplace bullying matters get to that point, it is often too late. If it gets to that point, then it's difficult for both parties to remain in the workplace. I think the key to resolving those sorts of issues are establishing clear pathways for the early intervention part in particular.
So what's next?
So we're going to review that document a little more closely, but we're also going to consult with members. We're going to consult with members at our monthly HRIR manager group to get some feedback as to how they see it. And I think the issue for us is, how is it that we fill the gaps that arise from that report? How is it that we should ensure that there is input from health services, including rural and regional health services, which has perhaps not been an adequate feature or has not been sufficient up until this point in time? So that's the thing that we need to do, and whether or not we establish a working party to deal with that issue and have a better connection and better ownership and better input than has been the case up until now, those are the things that we'll be seeking to consult with members on.
Great.
Well, thank you, Daniel, for joining me with regards to this discussion.
Thank you, Stuart.
And thank you, Stormtrooper.
Thank you, Stormtrooper.